Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
In 2019, LNER launched a new train for Britain's railways, the Azuma. Starting in 2005, the government created a plan to replace the Intercity 125 and the Intercity 225 trains. The diesel Intercity 125 was first built in 1975 and the Intercity 225 dates from 1989. The government invited several different companies to bid for the contract to build their replacement. One of the bids came from a consortium called Agility Trains, which included the Japanese company Hitachi, that produced the famous bullet trains. Agility Trains developed a plan to build what was to become the Class 800 and Class 801. The train's body shells were to be created in Japan. This caused controversy as some people wished a company like Bombardier would have won the contract and kept the manufacturing process within the United Kingdom. However, Agility Trains did create a new factory in County Durham to assemble the trains. The new class of train was first debuted on the Great Western Railway and they were known as Intercity Express trains. In 2019, LNER were ready to debut the same train model onto their services under the name Azuma. The plan was to replace LNER's entire fleet with the Azuma by 2020. This meant you could take an Azuma train anywhere between London and Inverness on LNER routes. Welcome to Hitachi at Newton Aycliffe, County Durham. And it's quite significant that this factory is right next to the Stockton and Darlington Railway, which dates from 1825. So let's go and have a look at the production of the Azuma.
Day one of the build starts at this point here, where the guys are actually putting all the cabling in now, ready to install this unit. The cubicle is essentially, it's the brain of the train, if I can use that expression, okay? It controls effectively every part of the train. You know, so like I said, when the car comes to us, there's an amount of pre-wiring being done. Our guys go in, they complete the wiring, they set everything up so it's ready to install this unit, and then the installation begins at this point on day one.
Let's have a look at, can we look at the wiring inside, please?
Yeah, okay.
Where it looks a mess and a lot of wires and probably to the untrained eye, a lot of head scratching of how on earth.
But each wire is labelled and numbered to correspond to the cubicle numbers, Anyway, we've seen the wiring being installed in the train and the guys connecting up the cubicles. What's the next stage of the process?
Okay, so one of the stages that we're looking at the moment is we've got the underfloor equipment installation. So this is where we get the train in and we actually start fitting the water tank, for example, at the back. So we have the fresh water tank, which provides all the water for the toilets and the internal workings of the car for the catering, for example. And then we have a wastewater tank, which we send obviously from the flushes, etc., from the toilet. That's where
that's part of the CET system.
Correct, yeah. So obviously we've got the underfloor piping, which then obviously onto your brake control units. So these obviously provide the brake systems for the various drive cars. In this instance, we have a drive car, so we have two BCUs on this one. And then we have the generator units and also the battery boxes. So within these processes, we're taking the cubicle from where you've seen it, where it initially arrives to us in the estate of quite a lot of wires. We're routing those and terminating them into a cubicle area, which is where the brains of the train is, basically. So all the information that comes into the central points, farm that information out to the relevant extensions of to the underfloor, to the roof, to the rear of the train, etc.
Sort of two halves of the cubicles. One's like the electrics that function the train, and the other's all the data, because compared to trains of old, there's so much data on the effort. Every tiny bit of dwell times and seats and people on seats.
There's a lot of information that's stored within the train as well, which is then used for diagnostic purposes by the depots to allow them to actually identify any issues and correct them very quickly.
Do these trains actually send information back while they're running as
they
well?
They do, yes.
Yeah, so it's like the Formula One telemetry stuff.
Yes, very much so, yeah. So
we have, better than Formula One.
Yeah. We have antennas on top of the train, and they obviously send the information through the various
so running faults during the day can be identified in the depot. Your maintenance depot can make arrangements to have these problems rectified fairly quickly.
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Here we're starting to see some of the internal fittings going on, and I see that the passenger reservation systems have been put in place, and also the grills and some of the panels on the walls.
Yes.
So do you want to explain a bit more to me about exactly what we're doing?
Yeah, so what happens is, I mean, previously to this day, we've fitted these window panels, which obviously got the blinds internal. So they're all fitted and gapped to the right location. We're now fitting the wainscot panels, which are the panels which run alongside the seats. And they'll be all gapped to the same measurements as well. I'll be exacting tolerances between them to make sure that they're obviously good for the fare-paying passengers. And then we fit the complex seat reservation displays, which obviously all the range at the moment, because they're really good, obviously good indication to the customer about what seats are free. There's a lot of complex wiring in behind that, which has to be put in place on the actual seat reservation display first, and that's done out of the car, and then these are obviously positioned on the car and then assembled and put in place.
Okay. So here we are in the stage where all the cubicles have been fitted, they're all wired up.
So from this point in time, the vehicle is finished. At the minute, we've got all the protection still on, and that's to ensure that no panels get damaged as the vehicle goes through to test. What we also do is look for any damaged panels. So we make sure all the gapping is correct. So this is our quality, final quality check before we hand the vehicle over.
Okay, so this is one of the driving vehicles with the crew area here. And we've also got the kitchen area in here, haven't we?
Yeah, so this is the main kitchen area that services all the vehicles.
Can you tell us a bit more about the process of fitting this kitchen?
All the units come in, and they're rather large units. So we lift them up onto the staging and we bring them on manual lifting handling boards. We then start fitting from this end of the train, and we fit the units as you would in terms of fitting your kitchen at home. This is where the hobs will be. You've got the sink units. Here we've got the water tanks. There's quite a lot of complex tasks, so we've got wiring involved, we've got panelling involved, and we've got plumbing as well to complete on the vehicle.
Okay, so we're now on roof level, and we can see the electrical equipment with the pantograph. So what are we doing as regards to this stage?
So our colleagues in test come through, and what they're doing is actually doing a pan uplift test. And what that does is check that the pantograph is going to operate correctly. It's the only place you can do this test, because in test they actually have the high voltage feed, so they need to do it without that in position. The roof actually is a minimum amount of work.
Yeah.
We only do either 1 or 2 days work on the roof.
Oh, okay.
So it is really small compared to the other day's work.
Okay, Dave, we're now in the electrical test area. Could you explain to us the processes that you go through to test the train's electrical systems?
The car will come into one of four pitted areas that we've got in the Aspire building, which is where we carry out air leakage on the bogies and the brake systems. Then we'll set up the primary suspension for the ride height for the train and check the primary suspension and that the weight balance is correct for each vehicle individually. We'll then strip all of the systems down, all the PA systems, passenger counting systems, everything stripped down, all of the underfloor, and shorts are put on all these aspects of the vehicle so that we can carry out what's called an insulation resistance test, which will then pass 4,000 volts through the high voltage system and 1.3 kV through the 110 volt system to check for miswires, shorts to earth and flashovers to make sure that the integrity of the wiring is correct. We'll then take all of that off and then do low voltage checks with a mega to check the rest of the systems that we can't fit shorts onto. We'll then put all the systems back together again, carry out earth resistance on all of the systems, and then prepare the car for coupling on the car body ends with all the jumper cables. And as you can see here, we're busy doing an initial charge of the battery 110 system.
How long does it take to actually do all these electrical tests on a single vehicle before you start to couple them up into a train?
On a single car, we're looking at between 2 and 3 shifts per car to do all of those that I've just described. They're just about to do a dielectric test on car 6. So when you press a send, it goes through 11 different steps. The machine's just making sure that all the cables are in the right place and the seats, everything gets tested, all the sockets on the seats, all gets tested as a wanna. So it normally takes between 5 and 6 minutes to do each test.
We're now in the commissioning area. Tell me what processes you actually undertake at this stage.
We'll take the train from single car, basically as a full unit, as a full train set, we'll call it. So that'll be either 5 car, 9 car, depending on what the order is. We'll get the full set, which has already been mechanically and electrically coupled at that point. Then we begin quite an in-depth, complex set of tests. So you imagine everything that you see on a train basically working, whether that's the brakes on the bogies, down to the lights and the panels above the seats that will say whether the seat's reserved or not, right down to those systems. And we'll literally test everything inside and out, back to front, to make sure that it's all fully functional, ready and fit for service. And that's basically the long and short of it. So we'll get the systems that we can get working in here, the engine commissioning, of the pantographs with the overhead lines, and we've got the 25 kV up above our heads. So we'll work through all of those systems, and then we'll get, like, as we get outside of the test house and we get through to like the sharper point of it, we'll get the internal systems working, the HVACs, things like that. And then what we'll do is, once we've got the system up and running as a full train set, we've got the test track alongside the factory where we'll basically get it out there and we'll do what's called low speed running. So this is where we put the systems to the test on an actual moving train. So that's our dynamic testing part of it all.
How long does this process take? Because it's obviously,
it's quite an intense testing period. It's quite fast. I would say anything, it depends on the order. Some trains we get through quicker than others. It depends at what point in the process we're actually at. But I've seen trains get tested in like 8 to 10 weeks before, but other times we can, we take a little bit longer. It's at the forefront of our minds with all this going on. It's always safety first. That's paramount with us. At the end of the day, they are complex machines, and it's not something that we can rush through and be blasé about. So whether the testing period of each unit is longer or shorter, you can be sure that we're right down in the nitty-gritty of it to make sure that these are going out onto the line 100% basically.
In terms of customer acceptance, we probably get more issues around the appearance of the train than anything else. It's not technical issues, it's, are the gaps right? Do they look right? Does the train look good? Does it,
And ultimately, we spend a lot of time to make sure that is correct for the customer before it even leaves the facility.
I think from a passenger,
before it even leaves the production into tests, we're ensuring that it's ready to go from day one.
I've been on trains as a passenger, and you've got the blinds rattling, and there's nothing more annoying. You're travelling at 100 mile an hour, and you've got this chattering of a blind all the while. So I can understand why you're working hard to perfect it and get it
and
get
it's a smoother ride as well, so we don't get the chatterings.
No. No, it's a very good ride. I've done a couple of trips on a Zoomer, so I'm swayed.